welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brewer Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. First off, I want to apologize about yesterday. We had another internet go down yesterday in the very beginning of our show. We're back up again today, obviously, but as you see, this is something that's going continually with the DDoS attacks that have happened all day today, taking out a big chunk of the internet on most of the eastern seaboard. Let me tell you guys, this is not something that is happening by accident right now. This is something that's extremely well-timed, exactly when they wanted to do it. First off, the internet, as you know, has been a huge, huge double-edged sword for the globalists. It's a very positive aspect and it's a very negative aspect of how all this information is getting released. As you see, perfect example with WikiLeaks. This attack that happened today was not by accident on a Friday. Notice, everything in the media has been about Clinton and the WikiLeaks. They just released another full set of WikiLeaks again earlier this morning. And distraction in the media, obfuscation, is what these guys are incredibly good at. Now what they're going to do all weekend, you guys watch this, they're going to discuss and focus on cyber terror, how to prevent cyber terror, how to control cyber terror, and get everything off what's really going on and what's going on with Hillary. Remember, WikiLeaks just released that Hillary took Algeria off the U.S. terror watch list after Algeria made a hefty donation to the Clinton Foundation Haiti Relief Project. The Clinton camp was discussing Joe Scarborough's discussion on the Algerian donation via the email. It says right in here, this is pretty simple stuff. Algeria is on the terror list, and they want off the terror list. The State Department's making a decision to do it. They write a check for what? How much? How many millions of dollars do they write a check for? I don't know, but Algeria writes a check. You're from Boston, you know how politics work. They write a really big check to the Clinton Foundation. The Clinton Foundation takes the check, and then just out of nowhere, the State Department then decides, well, they're going to take Algeria off the list. This is the kind of stuff that's getting released now on her, and they don't want people fixated on it anymore. They want to bring up the big, bad wolf, the big T word, terrorism. That's always what they bring everything back to. The internet will never be able to be shut down. You have the dark web. You have all these different aspects of the internet. But what they want to do is they want to massively increase internet spying, internet restrictions, internet control, anything and everything they can do to monitor, watch, and control what you do. And a large percentage of the population will just go through with it because they want to be safe from terrorism. So understand what's going on with this, guys. And when you see the media start talking about cyber terror, you understand what's really involved in it and who's behind the curtain on making it happen. Anyways, Dad, you want to add anything on that since I kind of started off on that?
Well, sure. Yesterday I was talking, and when our show got hacked and pulled down,
yep.
We were talking about how the Rothschilds and Clinton had told the Rothschilds in one of her emails that she had to pay penance to the Rothschilds and wanted to know what they wanted her to do as far as from being penitent, which means a repentive spirit, which means what type of things do I need to do for you to make up for what I've done? And I'm being penitent. It's like we're penitent towards God. We're humbled towards God. She's acting that way toward the Rothschilds. Now, here's the reason for that. The Rothschilds are Luciferians. They're full-blown Satanists. So obviously they're above the food chain higher than she is. So she's being penitent unto them as to her God. Now, I was going to talk about all of this yesterday, and of course, we got hacked as soon as we started talking about it. It got pulled down. So I'm just going to keep choking on it. So you guys can keep talking. We'll keep talking about it until they can choke on it. Because I'm not going to stop. You know, here's the thing. The Ted and Austin Brewer Show. I don't play this game with anybody. I don't play this game at all with anybody. I'm going to tell you guys the truth, the best I could possibly can tell you the truth, every time I get the opportunity to tell you the truth. And I'm not going to, you know, milly-math around with this. Well, it's this and it's that. No, it's the stinking Rothschild Bank and it's Goldman Sachs that runs the world. There you want to have it? That's what it is. So if you don't believe that, if you want to say, oh, it's the international banking community, who do you think owns the international banking community? It's these whack bags. Now, here's another article. Since you guys don't like me talking about the Rothschilds, whoever hacked me off yesterday and took me off the record, I'm going to start another Rothschild article today. WikiLeaks shows the Rothschilds have been grooming Clinton for the presidency months before she lost the candidacy. Why? Because they run the world because of their central banks. They also now run the United Nations because all of the nations in the United Nations, except for Russia, well, even China has a Rothschild bank, but they've thrown them out, have all these Rothschild banks globally. That's why they do this, and they have to capitulate to the banks because they just tighten up the credit contract the M1 money supply and put these countries into recession like they've done with Venezuela and basically cause them basically not to be able to feed themselves. WikiLeaks show Rothschilds grooming Clinton for presidency month before she launched the candidacy. Months before Hillary Clinton officially announced her bid for presidency, the Rothschild family was hard at work helping her craft her future economic policy, including holding a $100,000 a plate dinner for her for fundraising. But she doesn't need that because she picks up all these millions of dollars from all of these other countries. As WikiLeaks reveals in the ongoing hugely damaging release of Podesta's files, Lynn Forrester D. Rothschild, who maintains an incredible cozy relationship with the Clintons, was already forming Hillary's economic policy in January 2015, long before the former Secretary of State announced her candidacy. On January the 7th, 2015, Lady Rothschild, or should I say Queen Witch Rothschild, wrote to the Clinton top aide Cheryl Mills under the subject heading F.W. Elizabeth Warren and says, quote, "I think this blog overstates what Warren was doing, but we need to craft the economic message for Hillary." They're telling her what to say. Why? Because they run the Exchange Stability Fund, which is a shadow government. And it goes on to say, so that the Warren's common inaccurate conclusions are addressed. Loves and kisses Lynn, XOXO, right? In the blog, Rothschild refers to Warren attacks Clinton's close associates with big banks and Wall Street by highlighting how enormous free trade deals and banking deregulation line the wallets of the elite at the expense of the working class. Rothschild's brief message tells the upcoming, predictably public negative perception that Clinton would incur if her fealty to her bankers is clearly evidenced to the transcripts of highly paid speeches for Goldman Sachs, Morgan Stanley, and others also released by WikiLeaks. Of course, the irony of both Lady Rothschild's concern and her heralding to he need to craft Hillary's economic message cannot be overstated. This just goes on and on and on. You know, you guys can go back and look at this. This is through the Free Thought Project and by Claire Bernish, B-E-R-N-I-S-H, and you can read the entire article if you'd like. But Austin, the big global banks, Rothschild-owned banks, Goldman Sachs, etc., are the ones who run the world, and everybody knows it, but it's not politically correct to say it. I'm saying it. There you go. What do you think? What's your next story?
Well, no, it's so clear and evident now. I mean, these emails are showing specifically that they're so in cahoots with the Rothschild, which we know that they are at least at the top peak of this whole global banking empire, which shows you that Hillary is directly in control of what she wants to do as far as the global agenda. The Rothschilds are backing her. That means she is a full-blown globalist. If you ever had any doubt in your mind, now you know 100%, which I don't know how anybody could have any doubt in your mind about it. But one thing I told you yesterday, Dad, when we were off-air and I didn't get to bring it up on the show, this is something that nobody is talking about, and I really don't understand why, because I'm finding two articles now in alternative media with people in the military, retired military, Department of Security, all kinds of stuff that are absolutely livid about what Hillary said at the debate on Wednesday, and nobody in the media is picking it up regarding the fact that when the president calls for a nuclear attack, it takes 4 minutes of transition time before the button is pressed and the nuclear warhead is launched. That is a significant classified detail to release on public television that's airing all over the entire globe. She divulges national security intelligence to millions, if not billions, of worldwide television audiences. And what's interesting is the individual top-ranking DOD intelligence officer even went on the record yesterday saying Secretary Clinton proved tonight she is unfit to be commander-in-chief. What she did compromised our national security. She is cavalier and reckless, and in my opinion should be detained and questioned so we can unravel why she did what she did. The specific details of country's nuclear response time discussed by Clinton are only known by a handful of individuals outside of top military brass. There's another article in here now that just came out that I saw too, that a reporter has been trying to figure out what's going on because they said Clinton's comment violated operational security. A military spokesperson told us they do not discuss operational timelines for launching nuclear weapons. This is some of the most classified information. They asked Defensive Secretary Ash Carter. He declined to answer the question because it involved politics. But another military person said the U.S. military does not discuss the precise specifics of the time frames of launching nuclear weapons. It's extremely classified, and if you know information is to be classified and you're a government official, even if it's in the open source, even if it's on the internet, you are not supposed to disclose it. So this is really interesting to me that she just ran her big, fat, obnoxious mouth on national television on Wednesday about our nuclear launch protocol timeline, and nobody seems to even think that's a big deal at all. I don't understand what is going on. I mean, I understand the media is controlled, but my goodness, man, it's getting so crazy with this election. This has to be one of the craziest things I've ever seen, to where the media and the globalists and the Rothschilds and all these people are blatantly spitting in the American population's face, and they're trying to tell us we like it. It's okay. We're supposed to like it. You're going to like it. That's what they're doing now with this stuff. And, man, I've had enough of that, to be honest with you. I'm completely over it. I'm really, really, really impressed that Trump did not capitulate on national television and say that he would endorse Hillary if she won. I was very proud of him that he stood strong on that, because I have a feeling if they try and rig this and they try and do it, he is going to pitch a fit and try and make sure that it was actually a legitimate election, which there's not a doubt in my mind. If she wins, it will not be a legitimate election. So I'm really glad that he did not commit that out on national television on Wednesday, Deb.
Me too, Austin. And the thing about this is, I'm going to go back because I want to talk about this yesterday for just a moment about the debate two nights ago. What's interesting about this is if you watched her, and this is the narrative. Okay, now here's what's happened. Now I've talked about this multiple times. There's an energy field that goes around the planet. The sorcerers and the Sabbateans and the Luciferians have learned that they can control the energy field and the physical reality of what people believe through human sacrifice, blood drinking, and all of the things they do with all of their satanic rituals. Now, we've talked about that in detail. I'm not going to take time to do that on the show tonight. But here's the problem with all of this. They have spent literally hundreds of billions, if not trillions of dollars, in doing a complete mind bend on the American population using the media and putting them into alpha and theta brainwave states when they watch the news every single night, which allows them at this point to control the attention field or the energy field around the planet, keeping everybody in a hypnotic state. Now, this is the veil that the Bible talks about that has been placed over the eyes of the unbeliever. I've done multiple shows on that now, so I'm not going to cover that again tonight. So this is why the Bible says that they don't see and they don't understand, and it's foolishness to the unbeliever because this Luciferian veil has been placed over them. That's why when you say to her, you spent $1,500 a person to start fights at the convention and had police officers hurt. This is criminal. You don't belong in the White House. Her response is, our election system is being compromised by the Soviet Union. The Soviet Union are the bad guys. You like the Soviet Union. I don't like the Soviet Union, or in this case, it would be Russia. Now, this is what they've done. So she can't break into the conversation with him about the $1,500. That's why she doesn't do it. Because if she does, it'll snap the spell and make the people go, what? Did she just admit to that? Because they've spent all this time, all this energy, all these human sacrifices, including all these children that have been aborted, all part of this ritualistic sacrifice they do, including 9/11 was a ritualistic sacrifice. They spent all of that time and energy and all of their black magic spells to create this illusion, this veil the Bible talks about, around the minds of the unbeliever. That's why these Clinton people, it doesn't matter if you tell them that she drinks dead babies' bloods after she sacrificed them. It doesn't matter. They're voting for Clinton. If you show them pictures of her drinking dead baby's blood, torturing a child to death, it doesn't matter. You show them the video, it doesn't matter. They'll say, the video is fake. The pictures are fake. This doesn't happen. She's not like that. WikiLeaks is fake. Everything's fake because the media tells me that it's fake, and I've got this energy field around me, which has basically deluded me into believing the lie. That's why Jesus said, light has come into the world, but the world has preferred the darkness because of the veil that Lucifer has encased around the planet. That's why when you finally get saved and all of a sudden you understand who Jesus Christ is, who Yeshua is, who Yahweh is, when you get that and you give your heart and your mind and your soul to Yeshua and you commit yourself to Him, and you get put into His dimension with your through the Holy Spirit, and your whole life changes. Your countenance changes. I know it did mine when I became a Christian. The entire look on your face changes as if the veil is lifted. Now, that happens to people when they become saved. Now, when Christians who have an open mind to the truth, when they finally have a, oh my gosh, moment, 9/11 was an inside job, oh my gosh, the government's lying to us, they have another veil lifted off of their eyes, which is what happened to me back in the early 2000s, about, you know, 15 years ago, because I finally began to realize the government is not our friend. It is not okay to invade foreign countries and kill millions of people for nothing. When we went into Iraq, and Saddam Hussein had weapons of mass destruction, according to our leaders, including Colin Powell, who was set up to say this, and basically thrown under the bus, because I know Colin Powell, he never would have done this had he known the correct intel. When our leaders went in and we took over that country and we devastated it and we found Saddam Hussein, by the time we found Saddam Hussein, we had found no weapons of mass destruction. There was nothing. So what did we do? We saw we were wrong. We knew that we had invaded a country illegally, that Saddam had been telling us the truth, and that we were at wrong for doing this. So what do? We have Saddam hanged. Now, guys, if anybody thought any of that was okay, it's not. Now, I was screaming a pitch in Austin. You remember, Austin, how mad I got when all that was going on. Yeah. I said, look, if he didn't do anything wrong, why in the H.E. double sticks are we hanging the man? I mean, why do we think we just have him hung? Well, the people of Iraq have hung him. No, they haven't. We gave it to the people of Iraq who hated him. The reason he was in control of Iraq, he was the meanest person there, and he would control the rebels and all the people that were there. The same thing with Libya with Gaddafi. I mean, we go in there and we demonize these people, and Gaddafi had one of the highest standards of living in Africa, if not the highest, probably the highest, and now that whole country's in rubble. Okay, this is what we do, because we have this attention field that is being put on us by the media and through sorcery. Now, guys, I'm not joking about this, okay? I'm being very sincere right now. Through black magic and human sacrifice, that's why Hillary was absolutely bent on continuing abortion on demand, including late-term abortion the day before the baby is due.
Yep.
To rip the baby out and tear its head out. And Donald didn't even talk about how they pull the head out partially, hold the rest of the body in so it's not come out of the birth canal, and they put a big tube in the back of its head, and they suck its brains out. That's what he should have said, because that's what they do. That's partial birth abortion. The bird baby's partially birthed. It comes out with its head, then they suck its brains out. But that's okay for the wicked witch of Benghazi, because this is another human sacrifice to control the energy field around this veil that's been placed upon the eyes of the unbeliever. That's why the Doug Hagman, as far as I'm concerned, he feels as though if you're voting for Hillary and you claim to be a born-again Christian and you love Yeshua, that you need to reevaluate whether or not you're even saved because of what she believes as far as partial birth abortion and a plethora of other things, not to mention this giant pay-to-play situation with all of these countries giving her money through her foundation and getting all these favors to the State Department. This lady doesn't belong in the White House. She doesn't belong as a candidate for the Democratic Party. She belongs in a stinking prison. And then she needs to be tried for treason and found guilty. She needs to be taken out on the Capitol steps, and she needs to be hung like they did Saddam Hussein. And she would actually earn that before, but Saddam never earned that. They should have put Saddam Hussein back in power, and we should have picked up all the pieces and fixed what we had torn up in Iraq and put Saddam back in. That's what we should have done, and then we would have ISIS over there and all the other mess that we're supporting and funding right now running all over the place. But remember, they wanted ISIS. They needed ISIS because they needed a stinking boogeyman. That's what this is. This whole thing with terrorism is a boogeyman. We've got to have something that goes bump in the night to keep this attention field in a state of fear to feed the demons in the next dimension, because they love fear. That's why Jesus says, don't fear, fear not. Every time an angel will show up, first thing is fear not, fear not, fear not. You don't do that, don't fear. Perfect love casts out fear is what the Word of God says. Because we're not to have fear, because fear is the mind killer, the spirit killer. It's the thing that feeds the demons. That's why don't go to scary movies. It's not necessary. Don't feed that in the next dimension. That's what they have to do. That's what the birthing of all the murdering of all these children is. That's what 9/11 was, a ritual sacrifice. I've covered it in detail on this show and on Hagman and on Hodges. And so we have a veil over the mind of the unbeliever that is created by the sacrifice of the human beings and the blood drinking they do in these rituals, along with the media, the alpha brainwave state, the theta brainwave state. And I'm covering this one more time. I'm telling you what I told you. And that veil, they don't want it to break. That's why Hillary cannot address what Trump says. That's why she has that plastic look on her face, that demon-possessed look, and she has those yellow demon teeth and that nasty God Almighty smile that looks like she's about to kill and eat some child. And she sits there and she says, oh, it's Russia that's doing this. And so she continually spouts the narrative of what the tension field has programmed the mind of the unbeliever to believe, and she cannot address the truth. Because if she addressed the truth, everybody go, whoa, she just broke the narrative. Well, wait a minute, what else is she saying that's a lie? What else is she saying that's a lie? That's how they program us, and that's what the debates are supposed to be. But Trump has stepped up now and said, hey, look, I don't want to do this. We're not going to play this game. We're going to make sure this narrative that you guys don't want to talk about, that it gets out. That's why he brought up the narrative about the doggone immunizations, Austin. The immunization is one of the primary things that they're using to depopulate the planet, and Jim Gates himself said it in a TED talk, and they don't want people to open up their eyes and see the truth about immunizations because the mind of the unbeliever has a veil, and even Christians have been believing the lie about immunizations with their own children. But now more and more people are waking up, and these guys are in full-blown panic mode. They don't know what to do. That's why they either have to hack the election, crash the economy, or start a war. They've got to get everybody's mind off what they've been doing for the last century and what Hillary Clinton has been doing. What do you think, Oz?
No, you're absolutely right, man. It doesn't get any straight up than that. And I mean, and that's the thing, too, is everything she does and everything she says literally completely contradicts itself. That's why I was so glad when Trump came out and he said, Your Clinton Foundation is a criminal enterprise. That Saudi Arabia is giving you over $25 million, Qatar, all these countries. And he says, you check about the women's rights. He goes, they kill women. They treat women horribly. Yet you take their money, tens of millions of dollars. And then she sits there and spouts off how the Clinton Foundation does this and they're that. And she wants women's rights and she does all this. And then I love it when he goes, so I'd like to ask you right now, why don't you give the money back? You've taken from these countries that treat certain groups of people so horribly. The Clinton Foundation is a disgrace and everybody knows it. He's just calling her out like he sees it. He's very blunt. He's very direct. And like we said before, guys, it's not that Trump is this knight in shining armor and he's going to fix everything, because we know who the globalists are behind the curtain. We know the great Oz behind the curtain and everything they're doing and exactly what their agenda continues to do and as it unfolds. But the thing about it is, guys, we have to get somebody in here who is constitutionally minded and who respects the people of the United States. Everybody, I mean, I just keep hearing more stuff. People start ranting off, oh, Trump's not this and he's not that and he's not going to do this and he's not going to do that. That's fine. He probably isn't going to be able to do a lot of stuff. As I said in the show the other day, 90% of the stuff he wants to do, he's probably not going to do. But I can tell you one thing. If Hillary gets in power, she's probably going to do 100% of everything she wants to do, because she's going to have the Rothschilds backing her. And we already know what she wants to do. She wants to incite violence and create a civil war. She wants to completely wreck the economy. She wants to go to war with Russia. She wants to take everybody's guns on top of that. And to make it even better, she wants to bring in tens of thousands of more migrants from Syria so we can add in more terrorists into our country. And she wants to grant immediate amnesty to the people that aren't even supposed to be here. So, yeah, I'm pretty confident that if she gets in power, she's going to do all of those things immediately. And like I said before, Trump's not the knight in shining armor. But, man, he at least is talking the talk, and he's about it now. And a lot of people talk about how he was in the 70s or 80s. Listen, there's a lot of stuff that can happen with people in 30 or 40 years, especially when you see how sincere they are about a lot of stuff. Guys, listen, Hillary Clinton's been the same for the last 30 years. She has not changed a single bit. She's been consistent with her motto. She's been consistent with her demeanor. She's been consistent with her priorities, and those all go back to the complete and total globalist, satanic, New World Order, one world government agenda. That's as simple as it gets. So, yes, if you want to talk crap about Trump's, I don't really care. It doesn't matter to me. But don't sit here and say you're going to go vote for Hillary because you don't like Trump. That's the stupidest thing I've ever heard in my life. If you have any type of wits about you, you'll realize that's complete and total nonsense. So, yeah, I just wanted to kind of address that, too, Dad. You really go spot on with that. Also, too, now, with Obamacare, this is crazy. Got new numbers in today now. This article goes, Obamacare, when does the death spiral blow up? Obamacare premiums are skyrocketing out of sight now. A jump of mere 30% that we reported a few months ago is looking like a great deal compared to the jumps over 50% in six states and 93% in New Mexico, guys. Hikes of 50% to 92% are going to start next year in Arizona, Illinois, Montana, Oklahoma, Pennsylvania, and Tennessee. And a 93% hike has been approved in New Mexico. But it's okay, though. Obama came out and he said, and this is a transition because insurers aggressively priced too low to get healthy people to sign up. It's just transition right now. It'll work its way out. Meanwhile, the young and healthy millennials like myself and a lot of other people are not even getting health insurance. We're just paying the fine. We've decided that paying for these ridiculous monthly premiums with $5,000 and $10,000 deductibles to essentially support chronically ill people that want to drink and smoke and eat horribly and have horrible, horrible lifestyles and want to go to the hospital every time their nose runs, that's what we're supporting with these ridiculous premiums. We're just opting out and not even doing it. So that is one really, really big aspect that I really hope that Trump is able to do if he gets in, is get rid of this absolutely ridiculous just bag of poo is what it is. Obamacare is just a giant bag of poo. It needs to be taken out in the garbage and trashed, and we need to completely start over with something that's reasonable, realistic, and is designed to work. It's not written by the insurance companies, Dad. I mean, that's the craziest part to me.
Well, the nuttiest thing is this. Again, you know, the guy who architected and put it together got on a talk show. I forgot his name. Trump mentioned it in the second debate and basically started laughing hysterically and said that they basically had totally and completely lied to the American people and Obamacare was never designed to work and that the whole thing was just a scam and just laughed about it. That the American people were that stupid that they thought they could keep their own health provider, keep their own doctor and have lower premiums and that it wasn't going to work. It's designed, Cloward and Piven, to destroy the United States, internally bankrupt the country. If you think that the penalties are high now, you haven't seen high penalties yet. They're going to keep going up and up and up. They're $3,000 to $4,000 now. 10 years from now, if we don't get rid of this, if you don't have Obamacare, you'll be paying $20,000-$30,000 a year in penalties if you have any type of income of over $100,000 a year. It's designed to completely wreck everything. And that's what it's going to do. And in the meantime, the big global banks that own the big global insurance companies, God, all owned by the Rothschilds, you know, the thing about it is it always goes back to these same low-life characters. It really does. I mean, they're all the same. They're the same guys that did the Napoleonic Wars and the Civil War in the United States and all of this stuff. They're the same whackbags that want to run the rule the world, and they have been trying to do so for the last 200-300 years. And the sad part about it is that when you try to call them out for what they are and who they are, you're immediately classified as a racist or whatever. And like even Trump called out the international bankers the other day that are doing all of this stuff, and he was immediately labeled an anti-Semite. Okay, well, He didn't even use the word Jewish. He didn't even use that. He just said the international bankers, he's an anti-Semite. And the reason for that, everybody knows who these guys are. And the Anti-Jewish Defamation League is the second strongest lobbying group in the United States, only behind the National Rifle Association, the NRA. And see, that's what people don't get. It's a huge, huge lobbying group that's a foreign corporation operating on American shores that should be completely thrown out of here and not even allowed to be here. I mean, AIPAC pretty much runs Washington, and everybody cows down to these guys because of the money interests behind them with the Rothschilds, including Clinton, who wants to do penance to the Rothschilds. Oh, gosh almighty, this is nuts. Here's another article. It has become a terrible in Germany. Migrants call for Merkel to deport migrants. Migrants are calling for Merkel to deport migrants. German migrants are hitting out at Angela Merkel's open-door migration policy and the influx of new migrants, saying that it's wrecked their standard of living. So the migrants are mad now that she's doing this. The news comes after public broadcast RBB 24 took to the streets of Berlin's Kreuzberg districts to discuss the worsening crisis with the public, and the shocking comments show the scale of resentment brewing as the country in its coping with the influx of millions and millions of people. Guys, Germany is kaput. It is no more. So if you want to go see it before it slides down the slippery slope of horribleness. You need to go over there now. The last time I was over there, just a few months ago, back in April and May, I couldn't believe how dirty it was. Now you think, well, what do you mean dirty? Guys, when I was young, the first time I went to Germany, the place was spotless. It was incredibly clean. My mom, a German immigrant from 1952, used to get out in front of the house on her hands and knees with a scrub brush and scrub the sidewalks. She scrubbed the sidewalks. Then she would paint the sidewalks. And then if they got dirty again, she'd scrub them again, and then she'd paint them again. I mean, the craziest thing you've ever seen. Because she was all about being super clean, determined German to Zoba, which means super clean. I said, oh, this has got Zoba. Everything's extremely clean. That's how I was raised. Everything was always spotless. That's how the Germans were. You'd go to a city in Germany, and there wasn't one stick of litter on the sidewalk. If there was, they would come over and pick it up. They would do it immediately. I mean, immediately it would be picked up. Not anymore. Last time I was in Dresden, there were rolls of toilet paper on the sidewalks. You guys think I'm joking. I'm not. Now, toilet paper had been used, but there were rolls of toilet paper laying all over the place. Nobody picking up. Germans not picking up because the Germans are gone. The Germans have bailed out. Most of them have gone to either New Zealand or the United States, and they've gotten out of that mess, or to other countries, or to Canada. They don't want to be there, or to South America. They don't want to be there anymore. So the country is now being run by these folks who didn't even know what a flushing toilet was. And so that's what's going on with Merkel right now in Germany. And guys, it's coming to us because of the breeding cycles of these immigrants and how fastly they reproduce. It's absolutely nuts. Here's another article. A government insider is warning a possible surprise attack upon America between Election Day and Inauguration Day. Ah, there you go. Government insider, leaked through Reuters, leaked through AP Wire. Maintain the attention field. The news story from the U.S. Army's website tells us they've announced that in the fall of 2016, the deployment of 3,500 U.S. soldiers to South Korea to add more manpower to the regulation rotation of forces. They're concerned that Korea, which, by the way, can't even feed itself. I'm going to repeat this. Korea can't even feed itself, okay? It's starving to death. Is going to nuke. Oh, that's right. The Clinton Foundation gave them our nuclear armament stuff. And they also gave them the information as far as building nuclear bombs. Oh, that's right. And they also gave them the doggone missile technology. That's right. Oh, boy, how much fun are these guys? And so this is what's going on right now. This is all from the Clintons again. And remember, the Clintons, the reason that the Rothschilds are so indebted to the Clintons, and this is so important, you guys stay with me for a second on this, is that back in the 90s when Bill Clinton deregulated the Federal Communication Commission and allowed people to come in like the Rothschilds and buy up every radio and TV station in a city under one corporate banner, it allowed them complete control of the media, which gave the ability to brainwash the American population to the Rothschild banking cartel through theta and alpha brainwaves. And that's what they're doing, anti-flicker rates. That's what they've done. Now, that's what the media has been doing for the last 30 years, but the problem with that is that now the internet, as Austin said earlier, is a double-edged sword for these guys. It was supposed to be used to track us, our every move, with the Morgellons smart dust that's being inhaled into our lungs and attaching itself to our central nervous system to know where we are and what we're thinking, what our mood and what our energy is, to control everything about our lives. It was supposed to be used for that, to tie together with the hot water heater and the dishwasher and the refrigerator and the TV sets that spy on you and the microphones that record and say the things that you say in your house back to the manufacturers. That's what it was supposed to be used for, a complete and total global police state. However, human beings, having the ingenuity that they have, we've decided that we're going to use it ourselves to expose the globalists. That's why control of the media and control of the internet was given away to the UN, which is owned and controlled through the Rothschild banking cartel, a few weeks ago, and now we're having massive outages in the East Coast because they're doing testing on it. They're beta testing what they can shut down, what they can't shut down. It's exactly what Austin said. They're using that now as a quote-unquote cyber terrorism attack to obfuscate what's going on with the additional release of the Podesta emails. What's your next story, Oz?
Well, listen, going back to the migrants, this just came out now from Robert Spencer out of Britain. Two-thirds of child refugees coming into Britain now are actually adults from what they've been finding. He says on here, he goes, I'm all for helping innocent children, but it's completely ridiculous. We are just allowing people based on what they tell us to come into the country. Almost two-thirds of child refugees questioned about their age were later found to be adults, Home Office documents showed. Pictures from the document suggest that in the year ending September 2015, 65% of the refugees who had the age disputed were found to be over the age of 18 because there was no way of independently verifying their age The documents show that if a refugee is without their birth certificate, a home office screening officer will certify them as a child based on their physical appearance or demeanor. News comes from conservative MPs yesterday questioning the aid of 14-year-old refugees who were brought to the U.K. from the Calais jungle migrant camp. What's funny to me about this is that these guys really believe that. When you see these grown men come in and they go, oh, I'm 14, I'm a child, I'm trying to come in as a child refugee, let me in. And they actually believe it. That's the funny part. 65% of these guys were found to be over the age of 18, and they came in and said they were being children. So this is just another aspect of what we see now, and them allowing this to come in. They knew this. A lot of these screening operators were told this, I'm sure. Hey, it don't matter. Let them in as children. It doesn't matter what they say. We're trying to get as many migrants as possible for humanitarian purposes, so don't worry about it. But now people are starting to catch on when these 25-year-old men walk in and they say, oh, I'm 14 years old. People kind of look at you a little bit and go, nah, I don't think so, buddy. Why don't you make a birth certificate up? Oh, it'll have one. How convenient.
Well, again, Austin, it's not politically correct to ask them their age.
Exactly.
You know, years ago, I was in a, I don't know if I've ever told a story on the air or not. I probably shouldn't tell, but I'm going to tell it anyhow. I was walking, I think I did tell the story, but I'm going to do it real briefly. I was in the lounge, airline lounge in London at Heathrow. We had flown in early in the morning, got there like at 6 o'clock. We had like a 2-hour layover to get the flight to Stuttgart. And it was interesting because I was having breakfast in this lounge with the airlines. It was like free breakfast. And I asked the lady who was there, who was waiting on the counters and cleaning the tables. They had run out of bottled water. And I asked her, I said, do you guys have any more bottled water? Now, this is in London, right? This is England. This is English. You speak English here. And she looked at me and ignored me. I ended up asking her like 3 times if she had any more water. She continued to ignore me. Now, she was Muslim, by the way. She had the little head garb on. And finally, I asked her again, and she looked at me, and she goes, yes, so we have water. No, I'm sorry. Finally, I asked her, I said, do you speak English? And then she goes, yes, I speak English. I'll get you some water. I thought, wow, that was really weird, okay? Because it was crazy. So I leave, and I get a plate full of food. I'm coming back by, and sure enough, she has the water out there, and I grab a bottle of water. And there's this Brit there who's basically had been flying all night from somewhere and probably on a connecting flight, and he was drunk as a skunk. I mean, this boy was drunk. I mean, he was drunk. He was so drunk that he couldn't barely walk. And he stands up, and he looked at me, and I'm walking by him, and he goes, you know, American, you're really rude. And I said, I'm rude? I said, why wouldn't you think that I'm rude? He goes, you asked that girl if she spoke English.
Yeah.
Remember, this is England. This is England. I've asked her 3 times if she's had water. I'm saying agua. I'm saying vasa. I'm saying water. I'm trying everything I know, but sign language to try to figure out if she knows what water is, right? And I looked at him and I said, you think I'm rude? And then he starts in on Americans. And I looked at him and I said, you know, buddy, I said, here's the problem right now. You're drunk, and this is something I said is ugly. I should have said this, but I said it. I said, your mouth is writing paychecks that your body can't cash right now. You're drunk. And I said, if we were in the American right now, I said, we probably had already stopped talking because you've gotten in my face and you're physically threatening me. And I said, you need to sit down before you get hurt. I said, because I don't want to be involved with you. I said, this is ridiculous that you people are this politically correct in England and you don't think it's okay for me to ask somebody if they speak English. That's the mindset in Europe, okay? That's why I wanted to bring it to the story you just said about the guys that are full-grown adults with full beards, you know, fully Al-Qaeda trained, 25 years old, screaming jihad. I'm 14! Are you kidding me? You're an adult, probably with 10 children by now. I'm 14 years old. Politically correct says you don't ask them how old they are because they said they were 14, and heaven forbid that you offend them and ask them if they speak English. That's how far politically correct goes crazy. I saw it in the lounge, in the airport, in London Heathrow, and I've seen it throughout the world when you get to Europe. I remember I had met a friend of mine, he's a good friend now, and he's been over to visit us several times. He's a top executive at Porsche. And one day we were talking, and he's German. I'm not going to give you his name. He probably listens to the show. And we were talking, and we were in the house, and I asked him about some of the things. I said, have you guys ever looked at the history of the Third Reich or Nazi Germany, or are you taught all this in school? I'm curious. And he goes, you can't say that. I said, well, I can't say what? He says, you can't say Nazi. I said, well, why can't I say Nazi? The Nazis were a group of people. It's a political party. He goes, no, you can't say that. And I said, well, what about the Third Reich? Can't say that either. And I said, what do you mean? How about Hitler? Can't say that either. Well, how about Vaterland? Fatherland? Can't say that either. How about the SS or Gestapo? No. You got to stop. And I said, why can't I say those words? And he goes, these are Worte sind verboten. These words are forbidden. The words are forbidden. The words are forbidden. Remember, they don't have First Amendment in Germany. They don't have that. We don't have that. They don't have our constitution. The words are forbidden. You can be arrested for these words and taken away. And I said, in current Germany, yes, you can't talk like that. They'll come talk to you. And I said, you're not in Germany. He was so programmed, my friends, that we're sitting in my house in Central Florida, thousands of miles away from Germany, and he couldn't talk about the rise and fall of the Third Reich. Couldn't do it. Started shaking. Got scared. That's how programmed the Europeans have become. That's what they're doing to us with political correct behavior. Guys, it's unacceptable to me, political correctness is. You got to tell the truth. Tell them like it is. Figure it out. Deal with it. They don't want us to do that. What do you think, Oz?
Well, no, we see it happening here very clearly with what happened all year long with the political correctness and the transgender nonsense now that's gotten so far out of control. What they're doing and the universities now where you have to ask somebody what their surname is, what pronoun they want to be referred to as. You know, if a man walks into a woman's bathroom, you can't even say anything now technically because if he goes, oh, I'm a woman, you know, you only cast me, I'm a woman, I'm going to the bathroom, the woman's bathroom. You can't ask him if they're a woman. It's politically incorrect, and you're absolutely right. It's gotten so out of control now, and that's why people have to take back the First Amendment. We have to take it back now, guys. We have to be free. We have to be able to express ourselves. If you're not inciting violence, if you're not trying having intent to hurt somebody or do great bodily harm, you pretty much have the right to say whatever you want. A lot of people may not agree with it. It may not be a Christian thing to say. You may be a heathen. You may be saying something that's not very nice, but once you start policing words and you start making words forbidden, it really, really starts to slope and makes it very slippery to go into a full-blown, totalitarian, tyrannical police state where literally anything you say and do is judged and they can take you to jail for even using the wrong term or taking something out of context. So, yes, and that's why I think a lot of people, Dad, have been so tolerant, I should say, of Trump and a lot of the stuff he says because people are sick of it. And one person that's definitely not politically correct is Donald Trump. He even said that on the debate again on Friday. He goes, nobody wants to say the word radical Islam. Nobody wants to say that. Radical,
she wouldn't do it. She wouldn't say it.
Completely avoid. She would not say it. And again, it goes back to what Dad was saying earlier. It's the agenda with the mind control they've pushed on everybody. They've worked so hard, so many years, on trying to get the American population dumbed down, stupefied, and politically correct that you got this big, loud, obnoxious billionaire now running for president who literally says anything he feels like saying when he wants to say it, even though a lot of the stuff he says sometimes can be off color. I could care less.
Right.
The reason why is I'd much rather have somebody like that to deal with than have some candy gay boy like King Obama that won't even say the word radical Islam on national television, won't even address the serious issues that we're talking about. It was funny. I saw a meme the other day online. It was kind of funny. It said it was comparing Putin to Obama, and it showed Putin with no shirt on, riding a big old grizzly bear down a river. And then it showed Obama with a bicycle helmet on, riding a unicorn with a rainbow over top of him. And I just couldn't help but laugh because I thought that was kind of funny that's how a lot of the population depicts Obama. Nobody takes him seriously, nor does any other country in this world take him seriously at all. I mean, we have the first time in history that we actually had a mockery of the United States, of the president, of what he is and who he is and what he's about. I mean, most of the world knows he's not an American citizen. Everybody knows that. It's gotten brought up now, and it's been proven multiple times, but nobody wants to admit it. Everybody wants to just kind of, oh, well, this or that. Oh, he produced a birth certificate now. Guys, he's from Kenya. He he's not an American citizen. He's nothing. That's a simple fact. You go look it up. You start doing some research on it, you find out real quick. But the media does not want us to find all this out, because if they ever find out what type of Trojan horse Obama was and what he was completely and totally groomed for, is this was it, was setting the slope, getting the United States prepped to go down into basically hell is where they want to take us. I'm using that literally with Hillary, because as far as I'm concerned, Dad, and I know you are too, a lot of people I've talked to, her demeanor, what she does, just the look on her face the other day, that debate, how mad she got when Trump was defending little innocent children and not wanting them to be aborted at birth. The look on her face, she got furious. You could see the fire coming out of her eyes that Trump didn't want to do full-term or partial birth abortions on children, and he was adamant about it. She got mad. You could see it on her entire demeanor. And, guys, I hate to bust anybody's bubble if they're a Hillary supporter. She wasn't mad because she really supports women's rights. She wasn't mad because she really supports children's rights. She was really, really mad because she really, really supports the satanic agenda of killing unborn children. And that's just the fact, guys. That's it.
Well, what happens is the children release a tremendous amount of energy when they're murdered, okay, into the attention field, into the energy field around the planet, which feeds these demons, these interdimensional entities that control the planet. These angels, these fallen beings, these demons, whatever you want to call them. You pick a title. I don't care what you call them. And that's what we have. And we've talked about that, how the light photons do that and how the energy does that. And so what we're having is these demon beings, these entities, these abortions provide a food source for these things. Now, that's why the Bible says that Satan runs around as a roaring lion seeking those whom he may devour, if you want to take it back to Scripture. Now, that's what it says in the Word. And see, devour, as far as I'm concerned, I mean, I consider that to be to devour. It says devour. A lion doesn't play with its food. It devours it. And see, that's what he does when he does these sacrifices and what he has. And it's been going on for thousands of years. The Druids started this stuff. The worship of these falling entities were taught to human beings by the falling angels. And basically at that point in time, the Druidic worship started. And I've done whole shows on that, and I'm giving you guys the entire timeline all the way back to the fall of the Tower of Babel and how it worked. But that's what Stonehenge was all about. In fact, we're going to be doing a show, I believe it'll be next week, on Halloween, and we're going to be talking in detail about what happens with human sacrifice and energy. We'll have Dr. Marquis back on again. And what's interesting to me about all of this stuff is that people are finally starting to get it. I did a bunch of sessions today. I had a bunch of conversations with a bunch of really good customers, Austin, and you know, who've taken advantage of the Talk to Ted coupon. And many of them said to me today, they said, you know what? You know, we didn't have all the pieces together here. Didn't have the pieces of what was going on until we started listening to you and Austin on the radio, because nobody else talks about what you guys talk about. They don't tie it all back together with energy fields and sacrifice and how these things work together and how they control the attention field and how they control consciousness. Nobody else talks about this, and you guys are like the only ones. So now we finally got an understanding of what it means to be a Christian, finally, and we have an understanding of what it means to worship Lucifer and what these guys are involved in. So we realize that what you're telling us is true, and it's made these huge changes in our life. And see, guys, that's the goal of this show. I want to be the person that comes in and says, hey, look, guys, here's the thing. I'm doing everything I possibly can in a good way to teach everybody here how to live healthy, how to have a spiritual life with Jesus Christ and with Yeshua and with Yahweh. That's who I want to teach you. That's why I want to teach you guys this. So, guys, please, thank you for listening. Thank you it was my privilege to talk to all these folks that I got to speak to today. Thank you for allowing me to speak to you. And guys, I appreciate everybody so much. I want to thank everybody for at least getting your multiple vitamins from us. I want to thank everybody for getting your supplements from us and your water distillers from us and all the stuff that you guys order, because these are the things. We're self-funded. This is why Health Masters pays for the entire time clock on this show. In other words, we don't have commercial breaks at all. And a lot of these other shows, you're getting every 4 to 5, 7 minutes, you're getting a commercial break, commercial break, commercial break, commercial break, commercial break. I know when I was doing the Power Hour, you know, I was sub-hosting for Joyce a couple of years ago. I couldn't believe it. I got so frustrated. I finally told the guy who was running the clock for me, all these commercial breaks would start, and I'd say, look, just turn off the commercials. I can't listen to these commercials anymore. They're too distracting from the show. Just give me a blank, you know, audio and bring the audio back up right before I come back on the show because I can't listen to all these commercials. And a lot of the folks on there just run straight infomercials. I won't do that. So I want to thank you guys from the bottom of my heart. I mean this from all my heart. For getting your multiple vitamins from us, your methylated B vitamins from us, your vitamin C, your D, your potassium iodide. And guys, one more thing for some health stuff. The potassium iodine that we use is like a nascent iodine. It's the best you've ever used, period. It's just the best. And it's in a capsule form, so it doesn't taste bad. Now, everybody needs to be taking that now. I'm not talking about if we have a nuclear war or whatever. I'm talking about now because your thyroid can't work without it. You've got to have that in your system to make sure the thyroid stays frosty and it works well. It can't run well without enough iodine. So please, if you don't take, it's like $20 a bottle. It's dirt cheap. Get that and take that every single day, 12 to 13 milligrams a day. It incredibly throws a wet blanket on breast cancer. It's amazing what it does for your immune system. So it's one of the most important things. And our D3K2, that's 10,000 IUs of D. I mean, if you took one of those every 3 days, it'd be amazing because it's so potent. A lot of these vitamin Ds, you know, you get 100 IUs. Ours is 10,000. You have to take 100 of these things to get one of ours, 100. Okay? So, guys, please listen to me. The D3 for your immune system, the Viagraphics, the black seed oil, the turmeric, okay, the astragalus, all of these things need to be something that you have on your shelf in your pantry. You start getting sick, you start feeling bad, you got it. But, guys, potassium iodide, that's not something you need to wait for if we have a problem with a nuclear war because it takes time for this stuff to get into your system. You need to be stoked up on that to start with so your thyroid doesn't get affected if we have a radioactive fallout mess going on, or at least not as badly. If it gets bad enough with the radiation, it won't make any difference how much iodine you took. But guys, please do at least those simple things to maintain your health and to maintain your immune system. And thank you again. I appreciate you guys. I love you guys for supporting healthmasters.com. Okay, Austin, what's your next story, bud?
Well, one thing, since you're on a supplement topic right now, everybody's listened to it anyways. I had an email last week that somebody brought up vision and eyesight, and then I had another really good customer today actually email me and ask me if I could kind of briefly touch on our eyesight formula that we've developed years ago because it's very, very effective. We sell a lot of it, and it's our product. We simply named it Eyesight. And in my opinion, it's one of the best eyesight formulas on the market because we actually use a high quality ingredients. You guys know that. And everything we make, we use the best raws that we can get a hold of. And B, we actually use clinically relevant dosages of this stuff. And the eyesight, of course, we have zinc, which that's incredibly important for all kinds of aspects, especially for the lens and the retina and the immune system and for the prostate and for sperm. Zinc does all kinds of different stuff. So, of course, we got zinc in it. We also have taurine in it, which is amino acid. It's really good with retina and tissue production. Also, we have N-acetylcysteine. We carry that separately, but we put it in this formula because it's an incredibly good free radical scavenger that supports glutathione synthesis. That's a huge detoxifying aspect of this. We also use bilberry extract, which demonstrates really good possible effects on visual acuity and retina health. We also use alpha lipoic acid. You guys know a huge product we carry is our patented controlled release ALA. Breaks down over about 6 to 7 hour period. Very, very good formula. The ALA on this is not controlled release. It goes into the system very quickly for that specific reason because of its antioxidant properties and working with the N-acetylcysteine, again, as a free radical scavenger. Very, very good for the eye health overall. We use quercetin, which inhibits oxidative damage to the lenses, and we use lutein, which is a very, very potent plant product that protects the eye from UV blue light damage and quenches oxygen-free radicals. Lutein is present in higher concentrations in the eye than any other human tissue. And in our product, we use 30 milligrams for 2 capsules of that. That is a very, very expensive compound to source. A lot of products I've looked at on the market will claim to have lutein in them. But But a lot of times if you look at the ingredients, it'll be 2 milligrams, maybe 5 milligrams, maybe if it's an expensive product, 10 milligrams. We use 30 milligrams for two capsules. And the last one we use in here is the lycopene in here, which is basically helps, again, with oxidative stress and supports healthy vision. So we've pretty much taken some of the best nutrients we could find, gotten the best raws we can get a hold of, and put them together in a comprehensive formula that really helps with eyesight. Because you guys have to think about this. Eyesight, I mean, Dad and I have had issues before when we've been working in construction, doing stuff in the yard. That's why Dad always get on to me all the time. Wear safety goggles. Wear your Oakleys. Wear something that protects your eyes. Because I hate to tell you guys, if your vision's great right now, that's awesome. But what happens if it starts going out? What happens if you start having eye issues? It's very, very difficult to provide proper security, to do anything, really, if you go blind. It's very difficult. You know, people that were born blind, they've learned to adapt to it. But somebody that's had great vision for 40 or 50 years and they start going blind, that's a really, really difficult thing to deal with, guys. So this formula is what we designed that for, that really helps out with overall eyesight and overall eye health. But I figured I'd just kind of address that real quick since we're on the topic of supplements and just kind of give everybody a rundown on it, because a lot of people don't really know what's in it or what it does. They just think eyesight. They think it's another Bobo eyesight product. But, guys, remember, we don't sell anything Bobo. We're not GNC. We're not Walmart. We're healthmasters.com, and we make some of the best, finest, highest quality supplements in the world that we personally take. And if we don't take them, we really don't carry them, guys. There's only a few things here in this office that we probably don't take on a regular basis, and that's only because we've had long-term customers that really want these products still, so we still keep them on hand for them because we try and help our customers out the best we can. Most of you guys, I mean, especially the guys that support us, and we talk to you guys and you email us, we do everything we can for you. You guys are like family to us, and that's what we want to do, is make sure we provide you guys with the best stuff that we take. And that's what we do. That's what we do with the show as well, Dad, because we want to give you guys the best information we can.
Guys, we love you. I appreciate you. Have a great weekend. And, you know, just continue to pray. Remember, prayers are scalar waves. They can change the attention field. And what these globalists are scared to death about is that we as Christians are going to wake up, start praying, and unravel the matrix they put around us. God bless you guys. We love you. Thank you so much. We'll talk to you on Monday.